Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27. I'm Jim.
And I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
Oh, man, happy day to you, Jim. Hopefully I won't choke too much here. I just choked on some coffee right before this, so make some throat noises or anything, forgive me, guys. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, if you're going to choke this morning, make it some coffee.
I mean, you gotta get that caffeine in one way or the other, so, yeah.
Hopefully we don't choke on this episode.
I know, I'm a little nervous about this one, because, you know, today we've gone from some pretty serious, you know, topics. We've gone, you know, from anger to lust to divorce, and now we're talking about some vows, and of course, I think instantly you think of marriage vows, but I don't know, I think this is going to be this might be all over the place when we talk about vows, so this could be pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, I like kind of how he's got some transition with his items here with the Sermon on the Mount here. Let's learn about some vows today, and I'm looking forward to this one because to me that's a really important part of any relationship, right? Is you know, making commitment, you know, that in itself has some difficulties, but it's not anything like upholding the commitment, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's what a vow is, right? I mean, it takes it to that next level of just being like, yeah, sure, I can do something like that for you. Like, no, yeah. I promise I'm going to do that. And, you know, so yeah, it's a serious deal when you make a vow. And it's amazing how, you know, actually, I like looking at it right now, just on top of here, it's like, it is interesting how he's got this staged, right? Like, I mean, literally how we've gone through, he's went from the law, then you get angry about the law, and then you got lust, and then you've got divorce, and now we're talking about vows and commitments. Like, and of course, you know, next time it's going to be about revenge. So I feel like we have more stories on revenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting, like you're saying, his layering of this. And again, all topics we deal with today, that's the same. It's been around 2,000 years ago. We can change the technology and we can change the things in front of us, you know, a lot of times, but the same problems are still there.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I mean, I know they didn't track divorce rates back in the day and stuff, or just people's lack of making a commitment and sticking to them. But, you know, I wonder if it was just as big a problem back in the day. I mean, probably not, because some of the consequences, like you know, stoning people to death for adultery and stuff like that, you know, that's pretty extreme. So I'm sure that limited some stuff. But it just seems like today, like, you know, vows are almost, for lack of a better term, cheap, you know. People say they're going to do things, don't back them up. But the good news is I think there's a lot of vows and commitments and stuff people make that are being upheld out there. So, you know, part of it's funny how we read through the Bible here. And a friend of mine and I were talking about this the other day of just, he's like, you know, things really haven't changed that much. Right. And Jesus is talking about this stuff, like you just said, it's so applicable to us today, even.
Yeah. I mean, we just don't realize how, you know, I mean, again, we think, oh, you know, the Bible, it's an older book, you know, 2,000 years ago. Really? Like, that's not going to relate to today. Oh, man, does it ever relate today? And that's why we call it the living word, because it is ever, ever living. I mean, it's always, you know, with us through the ages of time. And yeah, it's just, I mean, again, the same situations they dealt with. It's the same situation. Now, they didn't have social media like we know it today, but boy, I mean, I guarantee there was some gossip and social media going around.
Oh, yeah.
Socially and groups and things. But yes, I mean, it's all the same. It's just a different format. You know, you think about like Microsoft Word, you know, you can type a sentence up, but you can change the font, you know, but it's still the same sentence.
I think that was better. I was going to go with like, the remakes of music, right? How they like kind of remake some music, and sometimes, you know, it's still the same song, but it's different. But I like your analogy better.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I saw this guy. I can't promote him. I can't. I don't even know his name, but I did see where he was a comedian and he joked about just again fonts and how they can relate. And so by changing just the different types, like one from like, you know, Times New Roman to it's like the Thriller font, which is like more of a bold kind of, you know,
oh yeah, yeah,
kind of scary looking. He's like, you know, the same sentence can kind of, you know, be transparent just because of visual looks. And so I just thought that's kind of funny. But again, it's still the same sentence. And so I thought that was pretty clever,
that's
a comedian that, using that to his advantage.
No, I think that is a perfect analogy. So what does Jesus teach about vows?
Yeah, well, let's find out, man. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're only going to read a few verses today, again, 33 through 37. So as we kind of flip to that, I'm going to open us in prayer and we'll dive right in. So, Lord, we thank you for this new day. Lord, you made a vow. I think feels like for me, you made a vow for us when you said, I love you and I'm sending my son to bridge that gap. And Lord, that vow was committed. You did do what you said. And Lord, that's what's amazing about you, God, is you always do what you say. And you are forever and always. And we just thank you for all that you do. Pray that you'll just help us learn from your words today. Learn how we can incorporate them into our lives as we've been doing for the past several thousands of years over time. Lord, because you knew what we needed. You knew right now, this moment, we need this message for a reason. So Lord, open our mind's eye to understand what that is so that we can live out our lives for you. And we just thank you for all things. Thank you for Jim. Thank you for our listeners. Thank you for our families and the support we get. We just give it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, just your prayer alone was just another reminder of, you know, God setting that example for us, you know, in all that he does. And vows are huge, and those commitments he made to us and, you know, fulfilled them. You know, you think about Christ going to the cross, right? Of what a huge vow commitment to, for the whole human race. I mean, that's knowing what's coming and still going through because you know the importance of that is just that's powerful, right? When people committing those, you know, even just like committing vows to someone or something, and when the going gets tough, right, you still stick to it and figure out ways to work through those things. That's the beauty in the vow.
Yeah. Yeah. That full on commitment, never letting go. And I mean, yeah. Amazing how we have, like, again, God knows all we need. He's like, hey, how am I going to bridge these gaps? But I'm going to send you a savior. And he's going to lead by example. I mean, how much do we learn from a leader who actually leads by example? And that's what I love about it. You know, he was the great teacher. So let's jump in. Matthew 5, we're going to start at 33, and it goes like this. Again, you have heard it. Let me restart that over. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, or it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
My
definitely a different perspective of how we were looking at
it a minute ago. Yeah, I have to admit, I like what my how they worded my verse 37.
Please read.
I'm not bragging or nothing here, but simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I'm going to bring up a softball analogy. Because we were working on that this week is, you know, batter watches a strike go by and they look at me and I'm like, I don't care. You just made a no decision. I want a yes and give me a solid swing, or no, I don't want a partial swing because that typically turns into an out. because you're not giving it all you got, right? The hot or cold, or you know, that.
Yeah, you're walking right into the lukewarm perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either be hot or be cold. Don't be in the middle.
Yeah, nothing good comes out of that. So I like this. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
And then
I like that's where you went to.
Because if you really think about it, right, the maybe is an if, right? If this was a good pitch, I should be swinging at it, you know? And we know where those if questions come from, right? Comes from the evil one.
Yeah. I mean, which is interesting how that verse 37 follows again with the simply yes or no. Anything beyond comes from the evil one, which is hard. It's kind of hard. I'm having a hard time, like, you know, again, I'm excited to get into our footnotes to see, like, why was that specific to it?
Right.
I'm over here laughing at verse 36, which, again, I know was not a laughing matter at the moment. It was very serious. But, you know, as it says, do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. And I'm thinking, you know, that's true, but I guarantee you my son is making... making my hairs go gray. It's like, I know it's not me. I know that's other people making me age out pretty fast or lose my hair. So I was thinking of it in a funny, goofy term there.
Because mine aren't white or black. I've got a combo going. So I feel like I'm in that maybe zone on the top of my head. I'm just glad there's some hair up there. So
that's all I'm praying for, man.
Yeah, I hear you there. Yeah. Oh,
that's it. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Lord, I know I can't change it, you know, on my own, but God, please let there be, you know, some type of prosthetics or something that can be me to have hair. Oh, shoot.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
But yeah, I do think it's interesting. Like, I think it's easy for us to think of vows as, like, we kind of started off with, it's marriage, right? Because that's where most of us kind of learn that perspective. It's on the altar. You got the groom, you got the bride. They're telling how much each other they love each other to death do you part, kind of a thing. And that's a vow, right? It's a huge commitment.
Right. But
there are other commitments, because we're talking also about an oath. You know, like, again, we make an oath if you're in the military. When you join the military, you raise your hand and you promise to protect the nation. Police officers promising to uphold the law. You make these oaths. And, like, I think you really hit a strong point, man, is how diluted have we made these vows, you know, these promises of I'm going to fulfill this. And this is where we realize, and I think the world struggles a lot with, is people are going to fail us. And this is why. You make a promise to somebody and you don't commit, you don't fulfill that promise that you said you're going to, hey, I'm going to help you move over this weekend. Well, you don't do it. You forgot. Slept in or whatever. And that's that sting and pain of people that have, you know, have failed, who didn't give us what they said they were in that moment of help or need or whatever it might be. And that's where we can really get impacted hard. And why I think it's amazing that God is there to show us, hey, I made promise and I fulfilled it. And even though I know you've been burned and stung by people, I'm not going to do that to you. And I think that's just a really cool, really cool thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah, no, I like that. Cause, when I was younger, I was like this too, where you're afraid to say no to someone, you know, they want you to do something or they want you to volunteer for something and you just can't sit. You're just having a hard time in that moment saying no to someone. But the reality is they would rather have you say no so they can move on to someone that they know is going to come through for them than you to say yes and then you back out on it or not do it, right? I think that's a hard thing for people to do, but when you realize that they're going to appreciate, it's not easy, but it's one moment right then, right? You just say, no, I just don't think I can fully commit to doing that for you. And it's really hard in that moment, but man, it's freeing for both you and the other person. Because they're going to be more upset if you say yes and you don't follow through on that commitment. So I that's something I've had to learn over time. But then when you say yes and you don't really mean yes, man, you're carrying like, you know, 10 tons of bricks on your shoulder because it's just burdening you because you know you really didn't commit to it. So
yeah.
So you know, I can encourage you to just be real in that moment. And you know, people get upset with you. Better to be upset because you were straightforward and honest with them than to be upset because you broke a vow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, that's good perspective, man. No, that's good perspective. I mean, I just, yeah, like, again, it's interesting that God speaks to this in talking about oaths. Yeah, I'm excited to see what the footnotes say, you know, to kind of bring a little bit more perspective. Because, again, it is interesting how he starts with an old saying, kind of like we would, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? He's over here saying, you've heard it say, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you've made. But I tell you, so he's just like, wait a minute, there's more to this story. So, I mean, I'm interested to see what these footnotes are going to say.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything specific, but the do not swear at all, either by heaven or earth. I'm thinking that's related to the vow, right? Like, I swear I'm going to do this for you.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But hey, guess what? We have a Folios following.
There you go, man. I remember the folio or the Folios this time, but I couldn't. I was like, man, what's the other one? I can't remember which way it is. Right, but yeah. Well. And again, if you can't remember Folios, remember it just says and following. That's another way to remember and following.
Yeah. I'm so proud of myself. 533 Folios following, or FF, it says there. Here, Jesus was emphasizing the importance of telling the truth. People were breaking promises and using sacred language casually and carelessly. Keeping oaths and promises is important. It builds trust and makes committed human relationships possible. The Bible condemns making vows or taking oaths casually. Giving your word while knowing that you won't keep it, or swearing falsely in God's name. So they must, I swear in God's name that I'm going to do this, yeah, or something. Oaths are needed in certain situations only because we live in a sinful society that breeds distrust.
Oh, that's a solid caption right there.
I'm going to invest some ink on underlining that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because again, why do we have to have it? It's because of the sinful fallen world of distrust. And that helps us understand it. And I think that's what's really important to say, again, how careless a lot of this is. And I don't know why. I mean, again, I come from the country. I know, Jim, you're in the country too. It's just, and I guess maybe we show our age a little bit, but there used to be a stance in the country world and Midwest world that a man's handshake was a promise. I mean, if a man shook your hand to do something, by golly, it was going to get done. And I think of that. But again, even to today's day and age, I mean, how many times are we using words in a careless motion? You know, some of the big words that are used carelessly, and I'm just going to call them out. I'm sorry. You know, that's a big one. My son, who's learning, you know, things, it's constantly, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, again, sorry, it means something. So thank you. But why do you keep doing the same thing over and over and over? And of course, I'm sure that's what God's looking at me over and be like, really, Dale? Like, you keep doing the same things over and over and over. Sorry. but again, like, how careless do we use it? I'm sorry. Carelessly do we tell people, oh, hey, well, hey, I love you, man. You know, and it's like, we don't really mean it. You know, we're instantly able to just bypass that person. You know, there's a lot of sayings that we've always just carried that have been very careless acts. And I think this was that same purpose of, oh, you're going to be there for me. Okay. You know, I need you to promise me you're going to be there because I don't trust you.
The handshake thing, we were right on the same page. That was what was setting on my heart too. I mean, that was pretty much like a formal legal contract, right? Like, you shook someone's hand and that was ironclad.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, and you knew as a man, you cannot break that,
right? So, right.
Yep.
The rumors get around about you that that's just a handshake. It is not a commitment there. So, and nowadays, man, we need to spend a whole lot of money for a handshake, right? Because we need to get a lawyer involved for a legal contract to formally hold people to what they're committing to. So, all right. I'm going to wrap up. We just got one other footnote today on this. Okay. So hopefully this will kind of take it home here. Oaths or vows were common, but Jesus told his followers not to use them. Their word alone should be enough. I did read it right. Okay, not to, oaths or vows were common, but Jesus told his followers not to use them. Their word alone should be enough. And that's in James 5:12. Are you known as a person of your word? Truthfulness seems so rare that we feel we must end our statements with, I promise. If we tell the truth all the time, we will have less pressure to back up our words with an oath or promise. That's what I was thinking he was mm-hmm. getting. I was confused at that at first, but basically the oath or the vow is like the backing of it, right? Like,
yeah.
Versus he's just saying, hey, if something comes out of your mouth, that you shouldn't have to reassure people that that's like, I promise.
Again, going back to that Midwestern mentality, I think of like a lot of the times you see an older person who's sitting there real quiet. It's because they're absorbing. And when they speak, you want to listen. Like you want, everything's going to stop because you want to hear the words of the wise. And, you know, again, just simplicity. Again, I think it's what I love about Jesus. It's just keep it simple. You know, of course, the old kiss analogy, right? Keep it simple, stupid, you know, but you know, I mean, he did it in a nicer way of saying it. Just don't do this.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's it. If we do what we seek out to do, I mean, what we're called to do, and we just keep it simple with a yes or a no, that should be enough. But of course, it also means challenge yourself to make sure you, when you say yes, do it. Follow through with that handshake kind of a mentality, you know, stand on your word. And that's what's going to make that yes or no very simplistic. Yeah.
The I promise at the end is almost like, what do you have a problem with making a commitment? Do you have to back? You know, when someone says something and they back it with I promise or something like that, you're kind of like, why do you have to add that additional information? And I think that might be part of what Jesus is saying, is just be known as a person that your word is your word, and you don't have to try to sell it.
You know, that's a good perspective, because when you were saying that, I was thinking, man, today in our world, we're very sensitive today. Like, it seems like everything is very sensitive, but it's almost like you would say it to really reassure somebody, mm-hmm. being like, listen, I'm really going to do this, because how many times have people failed us so much that it's almost like they hear that I promise means there's a glimmer of hope. But it goes back to like what you were mentioning very beginning is, you know, we have a leader. We have, you know, again, our Savior who demonstrated the actions and led by example. And that's the thing. Why are we so sad? Why are we so sensitive that, you know, and distrustful? Is because we've been burned so many times. But like you saying, hey, just do what you say you're going to do. And then that reassurance of someone saying, wow, like, you know, this person said yes to help me move, and they're here, they're on time, they're not sitting around, they're actually picking up stuff and saying, let's roll, you know, like, wow, like how much trust does that really bring to somebody? So,
mm-hmm. All right, Father God, man, thank you for just reminding us, make our yes be a yes, make our no be a no. Help us in those situations where it's tough to say no, but it will provide freedom for us and that other person. Thank you for our study today. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name.
Man, beautiful stuff today, man.
Yeah. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
And until next time, enjoy the gift of today.